gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gon' talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Greatest Show on Earth, the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier, and today I got a live one. But before we start this episode, I would like to advise all the listeners and the watchers to please subscribe, rate, leave that five-star review, do share it, do all those things. We're really trying to run those numbers up in 2023. So if y'all could do all those things, like I said, I would greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. And today, getting right into the show. So I got a guy that if you a fan of Millionaire Mindsets, you got to be familiar with this guy because we had him on. I think this will be his third time. But he's solo this time. Usually he has his beautiful wife with him, but today he's here solo. So he going to bring some value. It's my guy, Anthony Hartzlaw. Welcome back to the show, bro.
Appreciate you having me, man. Appreciate you having me. Shout out to you in this suit, man. Looking real clean, real crispy, as the young people say.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. I said, I've been saying on other older episodes, I said, as I approach 30, when I hit 30, I'm going to start dressing more professional, sleek, and clean. And I was like, today, I got a suit. I got a reason to wear it, so I'm gonna wear it. So getting right to the show, man. So for the people who might not heard the other episodes he was on, do you mind just giving some brief background on yourself?
Yeah. So I'll change my introduction this time. So number one, I am a husband of 7 years. I am a father of a 10-month newborn. I am a son. I have two younger brothers. And on the business side, I've been an entrepreneur for 5 years now. A story started with us paying off $114,000 of debt in 23 months with me and my beautiful wife, Janilka. And then after we paid off our debt, we started a cleaning business, and our cleaning business has reached $1.5 million in less than 5 years. Our students have done over $8 million in the cleaning industry without cleaning any homes, and we teach people how to do the same. And just a father now, so that's the best part about it.
You know, when people hear that, the first thing they're going to say, because you said without cleaning any homes, the first thing, because I was talking to my brother before I got here. He was like, how he got the cleaning business, a $1 million cleaning business without cleaning no homes. I said, yeah, you're going to have to tap in. You're going to have to pay attention to the episode. So break that down. That's my first question. Yeah. Like, how is that set up?
Yeah. So when we first started, the whole purpose of us starting the cleaning business was to help us pay off debt. And they could go back and listen to the whole debt freedom, the payoff story. But the goal was to start that business while keeping both of our 9-to-5. So I was a director at an IT firm, and my wife was a manager at a health firm. And we was like, listen, we're going to start all these side hustles, but we're going to focus mainly on the cleaning business. But we can't go out there and clean homes ourselves because we both work jobs. So we said we're going to find people who are talented individuals. They know what they're doing. They've been cleaning for a while. And their biggest challenge is finding customers, right? Because usually these shops are mom and pops, and they're like, listen, I just work off of word of mouth. So we said if we could find those people who are hungry, dedicated, and know what they're doing, they've been doing it for a while, and if we match them with clients who can't normally find them, that's where we're going to find our niche. So we've been doing that for 5 years now. So we match our independent contractors with people who need their homes clean, and that's how we started our cleaning business.
That's beautiful, man. And this shout out to my older brother, because this is one of the questions he wanted me to ask you. So I got one of his questions. He said, so when y'all find the people, are y'all sending the people into homes with like a uniform or something, whatever they want to wear?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And shout out to your brother, too. So since they are independent contractors, some of them already have their own businesses. Some of them are just like I clean on the side. So we aren't allowed to give them like gear and clothes and things like that. So most of the time, out of respect for the business, they won't wear their own logos and stuff. But we don't give them any branding. So that's one of the challenges in this business. Like some people want more of that hands-on approach where I got a nice logo, I got a beautiful name, I want these people to wear it. But if you're that type of person where you need that much control in your business, this is not for you. Because you're sending people who are already trained. They're like, listen, I'm just a cleaner. I'm going to go in here and do the best cleaning I could do. You handle all the branding stuff on the website development, on the customer service before and after the cleaning, and you give the client that experience outside of actually just cleaning the home. They get the rest of the experience with the customer service, the website, the booking platform, and all of that stuff.
That's pretty brilliant. I didn't know. So is there like legal restraints on, like you said, because you can't get.
Yeah, depends on the state. So based on our state, there's like 20 different things that you have to, that you can and cannot do for independent contractors. And it's really based on your state. So some of them are just like, you can't tell them how to clean. You can't tell them what to clean. You can't, they can't have logos. They can't have brand. You can't give them company cars. You can't, because what a lot of people do is they try to say, oh, I have independent contractors. I really got employees. And at least in Texas, depending on your state, again, they really like, I want my money. If you got employees, I need that money. And a lot of people try to hide it. We're like, no, we are literally just a platform where they find us, book us online, and they pick their own. That's another thing, too. They pick their own schedule. So they can say yes and no to bookings. When an employee, you at your job, you can't say, oh, I'm going to show up on Monday and maybe I show up on Tuesday. Nah. But with them, they're like, listen, I'm traveling out of town. I can't work these days. I'm closing my schedule down. Don't send me any bookings. Or I want to work Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Or I kind of pick and choose which bookings I want to go to. So those are like some of the guidelines that have to be in place for you to kind of be able to run a business like this.
That got to be very convenient for a mom and pop shop, because they probably don't know where to look, especially if they are older generation, mm-hmm. not familiar with social media like that. They probably don't know exactly where to look. But as far as like pay, do you guys just break it down like 50-50 or something like that? Okay.
So we do it. We do a percentage-based split. So you could do 50-50. You could do 60-40. It just depends on how you want to run your business. We do 60% and 40%. So that's kind of like our marketing plan. I was like, listen, you're going to make more money working with us than you trying to find your own clients. We're going to give you that volume play versus you just trying to get, you know, a client here and there. So the volume comes out to be, if they're getting 60% of every job they do, and we could give them 4, 5 to 10 jobs a week, they would have never gotten those 10 jobs without working with us. So if we're giving you 60% of those jobs, you're making more money with us than you would on your own. Mm-hmm. So we do the 60-40 split. You could do 50-50. You could do hourly if you want, but that just becomes more overhead and time tracking and stuff like that. So we say, listen, if you do a job that's $100, you take 60% of that, that's $60. We keep 40, and you get, you know, 5-10 of those a week. Now you're making $600 or so just from working with us that 1 week.
And that's good money. And for the people that's listening to this, like you said, that may have missed it, you guys have made over $1.5 million from this business.
We found that out last night on our community call. Because we don't really know the numbers until we go in and look. But just that we were just showing our screens, like, oh, now we're at $1.5 million. This is a compounding revenue business. So you're not starting from ground zero every month. Because we got one client who's got her home cleaned every single week for 4.5 years. And that was like $40,000 just from that one client every single week. So you're starting with, at minimum, you got that one client, you're cleaning her home every week. You got the biweekly clients, you got the monthly clients, and those compound month after month after month. So you're never starting at zero. A lot of businesses, you're like, oh, I got to go find more clients. If we close our business down, we're doing at least $30,000, $40,000 a month just from those recurring clients on the schedule. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. And that's for the listeners and the watchers, like, I want people to understand that this was intended to be a side hustle. And I think there's a big message in that stuff don't have to be these huge, like, you know what I'm saying, great things when you set out to do something. Like you said, this is going to be a side hustle. Next thing you know, you dedicate your time to it. You got $1.5 million out of something that's supposed to be a side hustle, which is crazy.
And we were just talking about that. Like, most of the people we see on the shows, on the podcast, they're experts. They've been doing what they've been doing. So you see us, and you see we've done $1.5 million without cleaning houses. You're like, oh, I want to jump into that. But you forgot the part where I said we've been doing this for 5 years.
Talk about it.
We've been doing it for 5 years. I want people to see this and get motivated, or whatever they're listening to get motivated and do it. But remember, you listen to the people who didn't just start this a year ago or 2 years ago. So don't just get excited like, I want to do that. No, think about the longevity. We was like, yo, our goal is to pay off the debt. And as this business grows on the side, we'll allow it to continue doing what it's doing. But again, we've been doing it for 5 years. So I want people to think about that longevity. Like, even like, this is a needs-based business. Like, you can't automate a house cleaning. You can get the little robots and stuff like that. Unless you like the Jetsons with like the robots and stuff.
The Jetsons.
Yeah, you can't really automate a house cleaning.
No, you can't.
So that's something to think about too, the longevity of it.
Talk about that first year, breaking it. So how did that first year to set up, like, the income, how was that whole first year you guys started?
That first year, we didn't know what the hell we was doing. It was such a thing we were just doing on the side. It's like, all right, we have our 9-to-5s on Fridays, Saturdays, we put some hours in. Sundays, we put some hours in, or a couple hours after work. Our first year, I think we did $76,000, $80,000 the first year.
That's good money for us.
But when we first started, we didn't know our P&Ls. There was no accounting. There was just like, everything's going to this bank account. And when we look back, we didn't get an accountant to look at our books for 2 years. And she came in, she's like, you guys are making pretty decent money. But we wasn't set up as a business when we started. So we wasn't just pulling everything out. She came in, she's like, listen, you guys are making pretty decent money. I recommend you setting up the profit first method, where you kind of track your expenses, you track your income, you track your taxes, because we wasn't thinking about none of that when we first started. So when the tax bill came, because we wasn't touching the money when we first got it, tax bill came, Uncle Sam was like, yo, you got a business, we want our money. But we had, since we set up that profit first account, she was able to come in and say, all right, you guys are making pretty decent money, put this money to taxes, and you guys should be good. So that's how we started when we that's what, 5 years ago now.
5 years ago. And that's what's so dope is now that you guys teaching this, and like I said, I was talking to my brother about it, and I was telling him, like, no, I personally know one of their mentees, Alex, mm-hmm. and he's last time I was talking to him, he's killed it and took his cleaning business through the roof.
Yeah.
Like, so if you apply yourself to anything, like, and this is a concept in the industry that is I think anybody could pretty much get into it.
That's the good and bad of it. Like, low cost, it's a low cost startup, right? It's high amount of competition.
Right.
So everybody could do it if they wanted to. There's a whole bunch of competition. So when you're starting a business like this, I know a lot of people think like too much competition is a bad thing. But if you literally go online, I did this with a pressure washing business. I was like, yo, give me a local service business and I would show you how I would start that business. So they were doing like car washes or something like that using like a pressure washing system. So we Googled like pressure washing or like mobile detailing, stuff like that. And I was like, all right, there's like 1.6 million results in Google. I said, we go to the top 10 results in Google. How many of them actually allow you to book them online, pay them online? How many of them have bad reviews? What's their customer service like? Now, just because they're in the top, 10 on Google, there's 1.6 million results. You think that's all the competition? No, really, your competition right. are the first 10 results on Google.
Yeah.
So find out what they're doing well, find out what they're doing bad, and see in where you could come in, meet in the middle. And a lot of our students say one of the challenges is that when they're trying to do like competitive research to find out how to price their services, they're like, I tried to call this company, they ain't respond to me. I sent them an email, no response. I'm like, that's your competition.
They're not doing business.
Exactly. You think that it's going to be so much competition in my area, but when you really look at it, they're really not competition because they're not even doing the bare minimums of business. And that's why we say if you just do the basics, you could beat out 90% of these companies.
Yo, that's so crazy. And that's because that's a perspective that I don't think I've ever heard anybody ever say. Like, when people start businesses, do anything, that is the first thing they say. Mm-hmm. Like, man, everybody's doing it. It was like, yo, the reality of, like you just said, about 90% of them not really doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Look at what you guys have been doing with the podcast.
Exactly.
Like, there's so many podcasts. I think the stat was like they don't get past episode 7 or something. Yeah. I was like,
most podcasts don't make it past episode 7.
Exactly. So when we started our podcast, I was like, yo, if we just do 1 year of consistency, just to know what's possible, to see if we want to do this. Most people are like, yo, it's too much work.
It's too much work.
It is a lot of work. So we were able to do it for a year. But a lot of people don't want to just even take that year and figure it out. All right, do I really want to do this? They stop after 5-6 months and or 7 episodes in the podcasting space.
Yeah, because, these days everybody want it instantaneously.
Yeah.
It's like, I see his results. I see Anthony's results. I want those results right now. If it's going to take me 2-3 years to get it, do I really want to do this for 2-3 years without getting any results?
2-3 years seems like a long time, but it's really not. We've been on your podcast 3 times. The first time we were talking about paying off debt.
Yep.
2 years later, we're talking about we paid off the debt and we became millionaires. A couple months later, we got a 10-month-old baby. Like, so you think about that. That's only been 2-3 years.
No, that's yeah, that's was speaking on that though. So, because this is a question and that I know a lot of people ask when they see other people that's young becoming a millionaire. Do you feel like that was a difficult task to accomplish, or was it simple but just consistent discipline and dedication? What do you think about that?
So that's a hard one. I don't think it was simple.
It wasn't simple.
No, it definitely wasn't simple. It wasn't easy. What was it? I don't know how to describe it.
Was it hard?
Mindset-wise, it was hard. Mm. I think because growing up, you think like millionaires are – like, you see stuff online, right? You think everybody's a millionaire because you see what's online. Millionaire is really your net worth. How much you own versus how much you owe. That's what it is. It's really math. So when we found that out, we was like, listen, we're tracking our net worth on personalcapital.com.
Me too.
Like, literally, every single month we were doing that. And it was like, all right, well, we need to hit these income goals. Oh, well, we got to pay off this debt so that our net worth can get closer to that million dollar net worth. But it wasn't hard or difficult. I think it was just being consistent, tracking our money month after month. Remember, we come from a debt freedom background. So we were all about like how our numbers look every single month. So if we're going through that journey, we're looking at our numbers like, oh, how do we make this where we can get to that number a lot faster? So we said we pay off our debt. We could get there by 2-3 years.
Right.
So that was really it. So I wouldn't say it was difficult or hard. It just took consistency.
And that's, man, that's so key. Because I think for people, that's some game, bro, for the people that's watching. Because that's really all it is. Because you could be, let's be real, you could be consistent for a year on the path to becoming a millionaire. Let's say you get about $80,000. You like, you feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you get comfortable and you start doing silly shit, blowing the money, you going away from the goal. That 80 is going to start diminishing. So you have to be consistent, and that's really the hard part, because it might take you 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. It might take you 15 years. But if you can't stay consistent for that period of time, that goal of being a millionaire, if that's what you want to be, it'll never happen.
Nah, that, yeah, that's really what it's about, man. Just staying consistent and knowing what your goal is. And I know the millionaire number right now, everyone's like, oh, that's not a lot to live on. I understand that. But coming from the projects, that was like the goal. Like, we grew up in the projects, born and raised. He was like, yo, we had this crazy mindset around what millionaires look like, right?
Right.
Only because we only seen them on TV. They was rappers. They were actors. They were doing whatever they wanted to do. But that's all we knew. We didn't know that millionaires could live in their projects, or millionaires could do this, that, and the third, until we had to get around other people and experience, oh, yeah, you just like me. Oh, you live like the millionaire next door, right?
Exactly. That's most millionaires.
Exactly. Reality. So now, don't get me wrong. I love the Lamborghini and all that, but it just took me to understand, like, that wasn't the only way to do it.
Exactly.
To get there, so...
No, that's the bro. That, like I said, that's game, man. Like, if people really understood that most millionaires are just the next door neighbor kind of person, not the flat, I think it would help speed up the process for a lot of people. Because, like you said, I'm the same way. I grew up. I'm thinking millionaires was what I see on entertainment without realizing this is just entertainment.
Yeah,
this is not how the everyday person with money acts and behave. You know what I'm saying? We thinking, you see a person get a boatload of money, oh, I got to go get the luxury car. I got to go get the $1,000 fit. I got to take the crazy trip. I got to fly first class everywhere. Well, that's not the reality at all. The average person with bread, millions of dollars, ain't doing that shit on a regular basis. Maybe here and there, they're going to treat themselves. But on a regular basis, they dress regular.
Yeah.
Regular. You know, everything is pretty simple because that's how they got there in the first place. Mm-hmm. So,
but the thing is, don't get me wrong, though, because I know what was the Bitcoin, the guy that scammed people out of billions of dollars.
Like,
I forgot his name.
Yeah.
But he was like, Sam, that. No, no, don't get me wrong. If I had billions of dollars.
No, that's different.
I'm not dressing or looking like that at all.
Facts.
But there's definitely levels to it, right? So, if you had billions of dollars, I don't think any normal billionaire would be looking like that, acting like that, dressing like that, no clean shaving, nothing like that. But you get somebody like, for example, like Steve Jobs. They say he wore the same outfit all the time, turtleneck. But he looked like a regular dude.
Facts.
But again, billions of dollars could look different. And millionaires could look differently as well.
That's true. I think people just gotta stop with this the mentality of, you know, it's that entertainment. When we come up, it's like a kind of like a hood mentality.
Oh, yeah.
You see, like, oh, you gotta get this shit. Oh, it ain't. Where I'm from, it's like, if you're not looking like X, Y, and Z, you ain't driving like X, Y, and Z, people are like, oh, you're not on shit. You're not really doing it. You could be the richest dude in the whole damn state. But if you don't look like it, it's like, man, he ain't on nothing.
I was we just interviewed my guy, Don, and he started, you know, multiple call centers around the U.S. And he's scaled them and sold them, multiple seven figures. And he's like, the people that he went to, like, a private school. He's like, the people who I grew up with in those private schools, like, that was normal to them. He's like, I think I'm doing great things. He's like, that was like normal shit for them. Like, they were really doing this. Like, their families were in business. Their mom, their moms never worked. Their fathers were in business. They owned businesses. He's like, I had to do this stuff. So when you come from that environment, you're not going to go out there and feel like, I got a penthouse in Chicago. And his friends are like, all right, cool. That's like, congrats. That's like basic level stuff. Not to shit on him, but they're like, that's what you should be doing. Like, that's normal stuff. But for in our community, it's like we have to get around other people who are like-minded with us so we can feel like, all right, what we're doing is great, but there's other levels to this. Yes. And let's try to make sure we all get there together.
And that's not common. I think so many times many of us had a mentality like we want to be the biggest fish in the pond.
Mm-hmm.
We want people around us that's doing less so we can feel like, oh, I'm the man. I'm that dude. Y'all ain't shit. Y'all ain't no shit. Instead of reaching and trying to go find people that's on a higher level, equal level, so you can feel like, oh, I need to step my shit up some more. Like, but that's Like I said, it's a hood mentality for a lot of us. We think like, man, I want to be that dude. I want people coming to me where it's like, bro, you only going to grow so much with that mentality. But I want to transition for a second to ask you this, because I know you big on family and the importance of having your family together, doing everything together. Talk about how that process and being having that mindset has helped you on that process and path to reaching the points y'all reached today.
Yeah, so like I said, last two episodes, it was me and my wife here.
Right.
And, so me doing this by myself, but like everything we've done so far has been together as a family. And we were literally in a room the other day, and they was like, yo, it's dope that you guys do everything together. Is that intentional? It's like, it's very intentional that we do everything together, because I'll go to an event and they're like, yo, where's Janoka at?
Where's she at?
What's she doing? And us being, even our social media presence is us as a family. So when my personal family dynamic, like me and my mom is not that close. I got two younger brothers. And I said, I saw the family dynamic that they built, right? And when I came into that family, I was like, yo, this is what a family looks like. She has no brothers and sisters, but their cousins are like damn near brothers and sisters. And for me, it was like, I didn't have that. So when I came into her family, like, yo, this is what my family needs to look like. And I took the morals that I saw her uncles instill into her uncles instilling into the family, even her grandfather that we just talking about instilling into the family. I'm like, this is what a family dynamic should be. So when we had our daughter, Alani, I know things get a little bit harder because you have a kid and you about to be right there.
Right.
But things get a little bit harder. So your goal is still to maintain that family dynamic. You want to do everything together. But it's been a very intentional journey. So it's like, all right, our debt freedom journey was like, yo, I can't have all the knowledge, because if I try to bring it to you, you're going to be like, I don't care about that. Or if we start a podcast, it's like, yo, I really don't want to do that. It's going to be us like, it's going to be like pulling teeth every single time. So I said, if we do everything together as a family, we're only going to grow together. And I don't got to worry about outside investors. I don't got to worry about somebody trying to sabotage the business, partnerships going wrong. This is my wife.
You my partner.
Yeah, this is my wife. Right. We're partners in business and we're partners in life. And I feel like having your wife, having your spouse as a partner in your business, I feel like
it's different.
It's different. Like, yeah. you feel invincible because you know that person has
got your back. Truly. No ulterior motives, no
None.
Weird stuff.
It's like, no like, oh, you gonna do well, I'm not gonna do well. It's like, you do well, I'm good.
This affects the same household.
It affects the bottom line of the same household. So that's why we do it. It's very intentional.
Mm. And it's something that people won't fully grasp or understand until they actually do it themselves. Mm-hmm. To see, it's an amazing thing, like working with your significant other, that like you said, it comes down to, you know, this person got the best interest of the family, the household, and this person got my back for real. So it's just a different kind of I can't even explain it for real. You just it's one of those things you got to do to fully understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you guys done it with this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, both of y'all doing this together and growing into what it's grown to. Mm-hmm. You probably could have done it by yourself. She probably could have done it by herself. But together as a unit. It's different. Mm-hmm. They see you, they see her, they see her, they see you. And that family dynamic just changes the game. So,
And then, you know, when it's a family thing, you got those set goals from the jump. As we know, no two people the same. So you got your skill sets and the things that you lack at, while she has her skill sets. And it might be two completely different things, but they just balance each other and work so well. So it's an amazing thing when you can really work with yourself. I know a lot of people can't do it. Because I know some people that be like, no, I can't do that with my wife. It ain't going to happen. Or I can't do it with my husband. It ain't going to happen. But when you can do it, I think it's one of the dopest things that you could possibly do for real.
Yeah, because if they literally have your back. There is no ill interior motive. There is no malintent there.
Right.
And if it is, like, you shouldn't even be married or engaged or dating that person. Right? So if I know at the end of the day, the question is, does this – somebody asked a couple. They was married 25 years. And I said – when y'all have arguments, how do you get past the arguments? And they literally said, at the end of the day, does this person have my back? Is there any ill energy here that they trying to get off to me? And they said, I know that's not the case, so that argument is dead.
It's dead.
And I was like, that's literally it right there. That's it right there, man.
That's game right there. And I think a thing that people forget to realize, or maybe don't know, is that when it comes to I'm speaking on family and the importance of family for a second.
Yeah.
Like, I think people don't realize that families literally rule the world.
You talk about
the controlling powers that be in the world. They are families. It's not single individuals. I know you'll get people. I said this before and people will be like, well, Jeff Bezos, he's the same. Like, yo, that's one dude. That's one dude. You name Elon, that's one dude. the majority.
And we're talking about decades, centuries.
Centuries. We're talking about literally centuries of families. You talk about the Rothschilds, the Medici family. These are all, even today, you got the Kardashians. That's the family. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Families rule the world. So knowing that, I think, and yo, if you want the people that want to achieve true wealth at a mass scale, it's going to be nearly impossible to do without some kind of family dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, as you enter business on the grand scheme, you need somebody that you know, like, this person got my back. You know what I'm saying? No malicious intent behind. They're going to hold me down if things go wrong or anything
like that. Exactly. And think about, if you even just think about the Kardashians, right? Yeah, we could go here and there with that. But they're a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar family.
Facts.
You got multi-billionaires in the family with the same last name. If Kim is doing well and she promotes Kylie, Kylie's a billionaire. She's promoting the mom. They all promoting each other. That's a family name. You got all these people trying to come from the outside looking in like, yo, what are they really doing? Even if they just became billionaires off of their fame, they're promoting each other's products. They're promoting each other's services. And then Kim just go to Harvard Law or something like that. So they're taking their family name and turning it into a legacy that even though it already was, but they're turning it into a longer legacy. Mm. You come into that family, she's like, no, I'm keeping my last name. Like, that's that.
That's right. And that's, man, look, at the end of the day, let me ask you this. Because you've done it and you're doing it. You've built the family, you know what I'm saying? Got the lad's name and y'all going crazy in business. Y'all got the kid and everything. So talk about for the people that's watching and listening that want to do the same thing, but they on that ground level. What's your best piece of advice so they could build something that's family and sustainable, a legacy that's dope?
Yeah.
Starting
from zero, I think I'd have to start it myself. Like, I'd start as a man or a woman. I have to start it myself because with me and my wife, we knew each other for 20 years, right? We grew up in the same building. We knew each other for 20 years. But I wasn't the person that she married when we was 15. Like, I went away to college and I came back a different person. I went away to school. I came back a different person. She was a different person. So we had to relearn each other. So we was 22 when we came back together. And she's like, you're not the same Tony I met, you know, 15, you know, when you was 15. I was like, I've been in college. I had a job. I had other relationships. I've changed, you know, and same thing with her. She went away to college and had different experiences too. But when we came back together, it's like, yo, here's who I am as a person. And here's who you are. And if it works, it works. And if it does, we realized that let's try this thing. So we both had to start with each other. It's like, yo, I'm this person. Here's how I am. And somebody asked this the other day, like, does a person change when you get married or when you have kids? And I'm like, they don't change. They was already there. You just chose not to see them. Like, if they was an asshole or, you know, you hated her because of this and the third, that's not going to change. That was there. You just chose to ignore it over and over and over again. You don't just get engaged or married or have a kid and just become a different person.
Facts.
So definitely starting with yourself and figuring out, you know, what's my long-term vision? I knew growing up I wanted to have a family. Like, I knew my family dynamic wasn't the best. I had, you know, both my fathers passed away. But I knew that my family dynamic I grew up in, I had to be better than that. I was like, is this something better than that? And I seen it through her family. And I was like, oh, that's what family dynamic. Even though, you know, her father and mother separated, I saw the family dynamic on outside of just them. Mm-hmm. Even though she didn't have a father that was in her life every single day, she had uncles. Was there.
Yep.
That grilled me. I came to dinner and said, yo, Tony, good seeing you again. You know, how's school? How's the job? How's this? And that made me realize that in order for us to be together, I had to have my shit together. It's like, yo, I can't come to her incorrect. I can't be like, yo, let's just go on a date and let's see how this goes. And I was like, yo, we got to figure this out together. So focusing on yourself and then deciding that what is the long-term vision. You out here dating somebody for 5 years. You're like, yo, I don't know what I'm going to do. If you 30 years old plus, you got to figure that out like quick. Because especially a woman, she's not waiting for you, you know, 2, 3, 5 years to figure this shit out.
Especially after 30.
The clock is ticking, right? The clock is ticking. So you have to know what your game plan is as a family. Do you even want kids? Do you want a family? I knew I wanted to be married. I knew I wanted to have a wife. And I knew that I would love to have kids. So when we came together, we was having these conversations. We were engaged. Before we even got engaged, we were dating. And the conversation was, what's the long-term vision? Do you want to have kids down the line? Do you want to be married? Well, what does a marriage look like to you? So we were having these conversations very early on. So even in the marriage phase, once you get married, those conversations don't stop.
They don't stop.
They don't stop. It's like, all right, we tried to have kids and it didn't work out the first time. It's like, yo, do we want to try to do this again? Do you know how that impacted you? Do you know how that impacted me? And if it was worth it, let's try it again. So we were having these conversations, even up until today, we had these conversations month after month over what the family vision is. What is our goals for our kid? Alani started walking. This is inside scoop. She just started walking this week.
Okay. Congrats. Congrats.
And it's just like, you realize so many other things don't matter. Like, none of that other shit that we're arguing about, who's doing the dishes, who's not doing the dishes. Like, none of that stuff matters.
Got somebody.
She started walking and we both went crazy. And you realize that didn't happen just because she started walking. That happened because we created a family. We're creating and continue to create the family dynamic that we want our daughter to see.
With vision and a goal. Y'all know where y'all want to get to at the end. And that's so let me ask you this, because you dropped some gems, bro. Let me ask you this. So let's say somebody got that person, right? They're in the beginning stage. They just found that person. Let's just say, I'll give an example. Let's say I'm a person that want to build wealth. I want to get rich. I just found a beautiful woman. I just started dating.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to do this with her together. What steps should I take to make sure we can do this as a unit? What should I do in the beginning?
Mm.
Is it just a conversation?
If it's you and you're already on that path, what the hell does that person want to do? What does the woman want to do?
Exactly.
I literally, exactly. It's funny we talk about
That's
this.
I
had a conversation. And he's like, yo, I like this girl, but she like to spend money, which is fine. Like, I'm not saying don't spend your money, but is that aligned with what your goals are? Is that aligned with where you want to be? Now, let her spend her money. That's her money. She can do whatever she wants. But just know, when y'all come together, that she's going to still keep those habits. And you make more money.
She's going to keep those habits. You know what I'm saying? She's going to keep those habits.
Those habits are still going to develop, and they're still going to be the same. So knowing who that person is, asking the question, like, yo, what is your long-term vision for not even just, you know, marriage, anything like that? Like, what do you want to do? Who are you as a person? Mm-hmm. We see social media right now, and I think there's a lot of stuff that I hate on social media, especially with, you know, black men and black women just bashing each other. And I hate that shit, bro.
Me too.
I hate that shit. And you see the family dynamic, and you like, oh, that can't be real, because I see this guy go viral talking about he hate women or he dating 40 women. Like, I'm 35, I'm 36 now. Like, I went to college, I did all of that. You're not telling me nothing new about dating women.
Right.
So, but I see that stuff and I'm like, yo, if anybody that's dating these people and they see them is like, I don't want to take that relationship seriously, because I see you bashing me, or even with women. I see you bashing men. I can't take you seriously.
People don't understand how that's a red flag on both sides.
It's a red
flag. On both sides.
It's a red flag. So, I was lucky enough to get before.
Right, before all this all crazy this shit. Stuff.
But I think it still has to come down to, what are y'all talking about on a outside of sex, outside of that stuff?
Facts.
What are y'all talking about, right? So if we're talking about, all right, she likes to spend money, and you don't like to spend money, how are we going to figure that out together? You can't build wealth if one person's going the opposite direction as you. So when me and my wife got married, it was like, yo, we are trying to build wealth together. It is one car. We in the same car. We're driving towards a goal.
Yep.
And we have to be on the same vision. We have to have that same vision. I think it still stays the same. No matter if you starting from ground zero or if you married.
That's gems, bro. Because I strategically asked that question because I just knew that's what you was going to say. Because I know anybody that's in a good relationship that's doing things, I feel like they would completely agree with you, because that conversation from the jump needs to be had. And I ask because I get so many people that hit me up. They like, yo, I got a girl. I'm trying to build. What should I do? I'm like, bro, first of all, y'all need to sit down and have a conversation. You need to figure out, what do she want out of life? What she want to do? You already know what you want. So just see if what she wants aligns with what you want. Mm-hmm. Everything else should kind of simply work its way out. As long as y'all make the main thing at the day. It's going to be times where y'all might get distracted. Y'all might fuss and argue about dumb stuff. But at the end of the day, make the main goal. Y'all have a strategy for it, and y'all just stay consistent with it.
Yeah,
and it's as simple as that, for real.
There's a lot of distractions. Again, I'm dating myself, and I'm happy I don't got the same distract. I mean, the distraction's still the same, but I'm not as distracted as I once was, right? So you see all these things online, you're like, oh, that look good. Like, even with the things I see on my phone, is like, block you. Like, I don't need to see this. Like, block you.
Yep.
Get out the DMs. Like, we're doing this stuff. I'm doing this stuff so that I can make sure that I'm trying to stay on track with our goals. So it's like, all right, somebody come up in a bathing suit. That's all you got? All right, I don't even need to see you on my feed, because that's all you got to show for.
That's all you got.
I want to see money. I want to see wealth. I want to see family. I want
education.
To know what, educate. I want to know what y'all are doing as a family, as a couple, even as single people. Like, what's your goals? I want to see that stuff. So I make sure that that's aligned with what I'm consuming, what I'm watching on a daily basis. Like, even we watch Housewives a lot, unfortunately, because she like Housewives. and I'm saying it because none of the women on the show are wives. I'm like, we got a whole show about Housewives, and it's 8, 9 of them, and only 2 of them are married? Like, what are we even doing here? We had a bunch of single women arguing with married couples that's been married. I think the two couples that we watch married for like 10, 15 years. Or I think one of them is like 20. And it's like, why even put yourself in a situation? You got 8, 9 women on a housewives show, not married. Now, what are we even talking about here?
Entertainment. You know, people entertain like boys.
I'm entertained by it. I get so mad and we watch it and I will stop it because I get secondhand awkwardness very easily. I'm like, yeah. I feel awkward watching this scene right here. So, that's another one.
No, but this is a very important conversation because at the end of the day, man, let's be real. The economy ain't sweet right now. Mm-hmm. Everything is costing more. Mm-hmm. Inflation is crazy. The median income for an individual in America is $45,000. Let's be real. That's not a thriving, flourishing life. Just being honest, I'm not bashing anybody that makes that money. I'm not down talking. I'm just being real with the cost of living these days. But if you can link up with somebody, I'm not saying use somebody for money. I'm just talking about the importance of building with somebody, having a relationship with somebody, building a family. It can make your life so much better and easier. I'm not just saying just get with any old body off the street just to make it. Please don't do that. Please don't. You're going to do better by yourself just linking up with anybody. But there is billions of people in the world. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that there's nobody in the world that you could see like, oh, I could bond with that person. I could rock with that person for a while. So that's why when I see those gender wars and people bashing each other online, I'm like, in my opinion, I believe, not to get in my conspiracy theory bag again, but I believe it's a trap because you can get money from people individually. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to a household. You know, if I'm in a household with somebody and they about to spend recklessly, I'm going to say, hey, we ain't trying to do that this month. Spending was crazy last month. Don't do that. But if you alone, who's that voice in your ear to tell you, hey, don't do that?
Social media is the voice.
Exactly. Social media is the voice. So I think the gender wars that we see on social media, I think is, in my opinion, I think it's done strategically. And I think it wanted done because, you know, America is all about money. They want to make people consumers consistently.
Bro.
And nobody consumes more than a single person.
Listen, if you had, even if you just took your show, right? Like you had us on the episode with both of us about money, marriage, relationships, finances, everything as a black couple, married couple that's doing pretty decent for themselves. If we had a single black man come on here tomorrow and bash women for an hour, that joint is going to go viral. Crazy. It's going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. And we know that and we see it every single day. There was literally two posts that came on my timeline. It was a comedian that said that I don't feel black men should get married to black women. We should just have a contract where we say, all right, we're going to be committed to each other, but we're not going to be in a long-term relationship. And there was another clip right after that had I'm not trying to get canceled, but it wasn't a black man. And they control a lot of the world. And they said, this is why we get married.
Ooh.
And they control the world. Like, this is why we get married. And they talk about all the benefits of marriage where you come together, you build your net worth. My net worth is 100,000. Your net worth is 100,000. Together, we had 200,000
right there. Already.
Easy.
Easy.
We're talking about tax benefits. Like, you go file your taxes. Like, they're talking about all these benefits of marriage, and the black comedian went viral. Talking about why we shouldn't get married. And I'm like, that's the problem.
It is.
One of the problems.
That's definitely one of the problems. I think we have devalued the value of family.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing, let's be real, there's nothing more valuable than family. At the end of the day, like you said earlier, when all this shit is gone, the only thing that's going to matter is those people that we raising. What did we leave them? What did we do for them? What did I teach this person so they could live life when I'm gone so they could be independent without me? So, but like you said, social media is like, they got a slogan these days called fuck them kids. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is. It's like people have truly devalued family without realizing that. And I feel like I said, in my opinion, I think it's all strategic to make the powers that be in the families with power to not have so many people competing to become one of them. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, to keep people separate so they could keep consuming and consuming and consuming. But that's why I try to preach to people like, man, do not fall for this trap, man. Get you somebody. Like I said, I'm not saying selling for anybody, but get you somebody and just build with them because life is a lot greater on this side for real.
Yeah, man. I can't think about, even with having a daughter, right? It's like, well, that's one of my fears too. I saw this clip and he was like, one of his greatest fears is not having control over what his daughter does or something like that.
Right.
And I think us as a black family, we're like, all right, we want to do our best as parents to make sure she's raised in a good household.
Exactly.
And God forbid, let's say we do split up. My goal is to still make sure, I wouldn't even let her go with her mom because I know they have an amazing family dynamic. And my family dynamic is not good. So I was like, it doesn't even make sense for me to have my daughter with me. I would rather her go with her mom because they have an amazing family dynamic. She has uncles who care about her. She has a mom who's going to be there for her. And I don't have that on my side.
Mm.
But the challenge is that how do we know that we're raising, you know, good kids? And we won't know. It's going to be one point in time where it's like, yo, you've done all you could. Now it's up to either college or it's up to TVs or it's up to whatever social media is at that point to kind of balance, you know, what's right and what's wrong. You could give the kid the best morals in the world, but if they have that one slip up with that friend that gives them that drug or whatever it is, like, that's it's not, down the window. It's
down the window.
So you could have the best family dynamic at the end of the day, but all it takes is one slip up.
Yes, ooh.
And that's one of my fears.
Damn. That's you got me streaking.
What's one of your biggest fears as a father?
Man, one of my biggest fears is I haven't really thought about this, but I would say probably just not giving it my all. Like, I don't want to look back when she's 30 years old and be like, damn, I wish I could have did something differently. I heard somebody say, they said the number one sign as of a great parent is when your kids become adults and they want to spend time with you.
Mm.
And I said, damn, that's facts.
Yeah.
Because I'm an adult now and I'll be missing my parents, but I know people that they don't give a damn about being around their parents. They happy when they like, when they see their parents and they leave or their parents, they like, woo, I've been waiting on her ass to leave. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, it's like, wow, that's like one of the truest statements I've ever heard. So that's like constantly on my mind now going into this soon. It's like, I want to do everything. So when she do become an adult, she got that freedom. She don't got to like, she's not going to be at home because she don't have to be there. Is she going to choose to still want to be like, I want to kick it with my dad. Let me call my dad. I want to talk to him. So that's something that's constantly on my mind for real.
Nah, that is a good one. Cause like I said, me and my mom don't have the relationship, but Janoka and her mom had the relationship. Like,
right.
They talk 2, 3, 4 times a day. And
that's beautiful.
And I love it because I know that her mom is going to have her best interest.
Right.
And I know that she's looking after her mom. And that's that going back to that family dynamic. And if I see that in my wife, what do you think my daughter's going to do? All my wife is going to do is just replicate whatever she learned from her mom down to her. And if they have that same family, if they have that dynamic as mother and daughter, I'd be blown out the water. I would love that for her. Mm. So on the father's side, of course, I would love that for me as well. But if I know that my wife has an amazing relationship with her mother, I feel like my daughter will have a relationship with her mother as well.
Mm, that's beautiful, man. I think this conversation is so important because oftentimes in our community, you always hear the conversations of black people, we the lowest income regarding the race in the country. We the lowest income and shit like that. But then when it comes to family, we'll have like a fucked up mentality towards family.
Yeah.
It's like, y'all don't see the links in between this. Everybody trying to do things by themselves. Like, of course, if you got the lowest rate of marriage or lowest rate of relationships, you naturally gonna have the lowest rate
of income, and everything else.
They go hand in hand. You know what I'm saying? Two incomes is always gonna be better than one. So that's why, once again, I hate to see the gender wars, because I know it's a trap at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I want to say regarding that, man. And I also, like, no, let's stick with this conversation a lot, because I seen you mention something that I think it was E.T. that said, you said that a lot of people, I'm paraphrasing at this point.
I was paraphrasing too. I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, you was like, where's your, like, a lot of people have was quote unquote success, but it's like, where's your family? Where's your wife? Where's the children that love you? And when I read, I said, damn, that's deep, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Because these days, even the word success, I feel like is skewed. Like, people don't truly, I feel like it's subjective kind of, but it's objective too, in my opinion. Like, if you killing in the business, you got a beautiful family, you got beautiful children, you got good health, that's success, I think. And it should be success to everyone.
Yeah.
Like I said, it is kind of subjective. But going back to the point, I feel like people got lost in that, because if you are doing all these amazing things, but you have no family, it's like, is you really doing it like that for real? You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree with you. And when he said that, quote, I automatically, like, every time you see me is us, me and Janoka, right?
Yeah, every time.
Every single time. You haven't met Alani yet, but you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring our daughter everywhere. We was at this conference and we were on stage. Based. And I'm like, yo, can I bring my daughter up here? And the lady was like, if you want to, like, that's weird. I was like, I just want her up here for the experience. I want her to know her family's here. And I want everyone in the crowd to see what we're doing as a family, as a black family. That's and when huge, we got off bro. That stage, it was a single guy. He had to be like maybe under, he was like 25, 27 or something. He was like, you hear these black families, you see them on TV. But he's like, to see a black family that's out here doing what they're doing. You got a couple, you got a married couple, you got your kid on stage. You're talking about financial freedom, education, entrepreneurship, business, and life. He's like, that just changed his mindset. And I'm like, what you mean, bro? He's like, I just never thought about family like that.
See?
And I was like, why? He's like, because it's not, I'm not around it. He's like, I'm not around it. I don't see it. I'm not around it. And that's why I share our story so much. And that's why I wanted to bring our daughter on stage, because we don't see a lot of that. And that's my goal of us continuing to share our stories. Even we just did a IG live with a couple and black family doing their thing in business. Like, this is what I want to see. I want people to see this. I want people to see us. Like, it's great that you got the single guy and he goes viral, but talking about the young lady that he's smashing or whatever. But I want the families to go viral. Very rarely, right. We're going to be on, we got three publications coming out. Business, I'm not gonna talk about it. Three publications coming out, and they reach out to us. It's like, I love what you guys are doing. All white publications. You think the Shade Room's gonna reach out and say, yo, I want to feature your story on the page?
Absolutely not.
That shit, it's boring, right? It's black family making money, you know, loving each other. That's boring.
It's not entertaining, quote unquote.
That's boring. Right. We don't wanna see that. That's corny. So that's why I love sharing our stories, because it could change somebody's life because they've never seen it. I didn't see it growing up. I didn't see it in my own family growing up. So that's why I feel like that family dynamic is so important.
It is, and it shows the other side. Like you said, so oftentimes we just see the crazy stories, the bullshit stories, the entertaining stories without, and that's one of the reasons we start this podcast, so people could hear other side of life, where it's just not from an entertainer, an artist, or a ball player. It's like a regular person. You could see them talk about how they got to success and how you could do the same thing. It's just the other side, and that's dope, man. Like when I seen that picture that y'all did, I said, "Damn, that's fire, bro!" Like that's.
I was like, "We got to get on more stages."
I'm like, man, that's and she looked calm when she was up there too. She was tripping.
To have your daughter on stage with you, speaking in front of, I think it was like 1,000 people.
Damn.
When we first got up there, I was nervous, and we speak all the time, but to be in front of 1,000 people speaking, but it was like, this is our story. Like, you can't mess up our story. I can't get nervous telling our story and help. And if my goal is to help one person in that crowd, so we brought our daughter up there, Alani. I took the pacifier out of her mouth and she automatically started talking to the crowd. And I thought that was super dope that she was up there just being herself. Just like being herself. She's being herself. But having that dynamic so that I could say, all right, you know, I had my family on stage, you know, with me while we spoke for the first time as husband and wife in front of a crowd of people.
That's beautiful, bro.
And it's like, it's nothing more than that. Yeah. We got that stage and it felt like we were just walking on like clouds at that point.
That's beautiful, bro. And with all that being said, because I don't want people to, you know, people will misunderstand things when we talk about family. I don't want people to think when we talk about family and having one and building one, that don't mean that it's perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing perfect. It's going to be imperfections with it, but it's still, just because it's not perfect doesn't mean it's not valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say that to make people clearly understand, because people will be like, people hear stuff like this and be like, well, why should I do that? Families go through bullshit all the time. I can go through that by myself. It's like, no. You going through your shit, whatever issues you got with your family is much better than you going through that shit alone, for real.
Success is not perfect. We were talking about the value of success. Success is not perfect.
Success
is not 1 year, 2 years. Success is to keep going when it's not perfect and don't quit and figure it out as you go along. So that's what I feel like we're doing. We've only been married 7 years. And like I said, we were talking to a couple that was married 20 some odd years. And they're like, yo, y'all just scratching the surface of this. And I was like, what do you mean? It's like, what you doing? Like they said, they call it the 7 year itch. Funny thing is, they can have a year for everything. You got the 5 year, you got the 7 year. They got some reason why people quit marriages every single year.
That's funny.
They called it the 7 year itch. And I was like, what does that mean? It's like at the 7 year mark, you start really learning about each other. And I said, if we're continuing to learn about each other, isn't that a good thing? And it says a gift and a curse.
Why is that?
And I asked them why. And it's like, because you're going to start learning things that was already there. Like we mentioned that it was already there, but you overlook. I'll take I overlooked it in dating. I said, you overlooked it in dating. I said, I overlooked it for 6 years, 7 years. I said, you overlooked it for 7 years. Now you guys are together so long that you become one in a way. You become one in a way. And you start finding things about yourself that you didn't like within her.
Ooh,
and
that's deep.
They went really deep on that one.
Yeah,
and, and I was like, okay, well, I'm excited to continue to learn about each other, but I'm more excited to learn about what we're going to do as a family, what we're going to do as individuals, what we're going to do with our daughter. And they got like 2-3 kids. And they was like, yeah, that's the best part about it, is having the family dynamic and making sure you're going through those phases of when things are not good. And that's when you really learn about marriage. That's when you really learn about yourself. That's when you really learn about family. And I was like, I can't wait to find out about it.
Went deep with that one.
They went deep. Yeah. I wasn't ready for that. We just got on stage and we was hyped.
Hey, that's deep, bro. I got a few more questions for you.
Oh, no,
so
no.
Regarding business wise, mm-hmm. like I said, you said 7 years or five?
5 years.
For 5 years of the business. So what's one of the biggest you experienced success? What's one of the biggest misconceptions that you've learned over this time? Something that when you started you believed something like 100%, but now 5 years later you're like, man, I had that all wrong. Is it anything?
I think undermining the journey itself, like not understanding how long it would actually take to become whatever your version of success is. I think especially given his age, I thought that we would have been at 1.5 million sooner.
Really?
After the first year, I was like, oh, we got this. And I think that I thought we would have got there quicker, but I don't think that success is an end point. I think it's still a journey.
Damn.
And I think continuing to keep going and keep growing, that's what I realized. I thought, oh, you hit that first 10,000 a month or that 100,000 a year. That's what success is. But I realized that it's actually the long term. It's the journey. Can you do that again? What happens when things are not good? What happens when you don't hit that 100K?
Facts.
Right? What do you want to keep going? So I think that's what I underestimated, the journey itself.
That's deep too, bro. Because that's something that you think success is some kind of final destination.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the older I'm getting, the older I'm more realizing that it's not. It's something that continues on literally until the day you die for real.
Yeah.
You got to keep going and going and prove yourself and stuff like that.
So, going back to the marriage example, are you successful at year 7 in marriage because you were successful year 1? Year 7 don't got shit to do with year 1.
That's right.
Year 7
is... You still end up divorced.
Yeah, so year 7 is year 7, year 6 is 6, or even 10 is 10. Success is not predicated on year 1. It's based on what have you done for me lately.
What are you doing? That's facts.
What have you done for me lately? So that's what I underestimated about success. I thought that you get to that milestone. It's like, all right, it's coasting. I'm good. That was that milestone. That was just the first level.
Hey, well, that's funny because what I'm realizing is once you get to that point that you feel like, I'm good, I made it. That's where the real work starts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this is where the work actually starts at, because now there's an expectation and a standard that I gotta meet every single time now. And that's the part that a lot of people don't realize for real. It's like the shit you doing to get, like everything you doing before you feel like you made it is the easiest part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Once you say, oh, I made it, I'm somewhere now. Now it's some real shit going on because you gotta protect that, you gotta grow that,
mm-hmm.
and you gotta keep moving in that. Now you gotta work even harder because, especially regarding business, you got competition.
Yeah,
and your competition not gonna stop,
mm-hmm.
and you gotta outwork them. You gotta keep. So it's like you get what I'm saying. Like
yeah.
There's really no made it point.
There's not.
There's really no such thing as like, man, I made it. Because the moment you feel like that point where you feel like I made it is more than likely is you're going to start to fall off.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get complacent.
We was literally talking about that. I think it was this week or last week where for our cleaning business, we said, all right, we hit 5 years. Most businesses don't make it. Small businesses don't make it past 2 and then 3.
Yeah.
Most don't make it past 5. And it's the same thing with marriage. Like most people's businesses don't make it past a certain amount of years. But we said, what are we doing now to ensure this success next year? It's like, it's great that we've done 5 years. Like, how do we make sure we go another 5 years? Or do we even want to do five
do
more years?
Five.
Like, what's the end goal here? What's the end result? Or even, is there a end play? So figuring that out where you were like you just mentioned, where you feel like you made it, and that's just the tipping
point. That's the tipping point.
It's like, all right, 5 years now, where do we go to for the next five? How do we make sure we ensure our first, technically a recession, right?
Yeah.
How do you ensure you make it through that first recession? Can you make it through? Do we have the funds to make it through? So Those are things we're starting to think about now.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned those statistics when they was, hey, like certain marriages don't last past this point, and the same with business.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, because
they be trying to make us fail with everything.
That's facts. But it's interesting because it seems like the link is, at the end of the day, in the beginning, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding anything, is easy. Like, that's why it kill me when I see people when I see people that's like fresh in a relationship online talking about, this is what you need to do.
Oh man,
I'll be like, you have no clue. Everything is easy and perfect in the beginning. When you get
we see that on social media a lot, they get that new relationship, they wait a couple months and then they post it. And then a couple months later, they stop talking about it.
Stop talking like, what happened?
It's the same thing with business. You start that new business, you get excited about it. A couple months later, you stop talking about it. It's the same thing, man.
And this, my final question I got for you. This is not a serious question. It's something light. I was thinking about this the other day. Would you rather question? So would you rather right now, $20 million at age 36?
Okay.
Or would you rather start over from age 5, knowing everything that you know right now?
I'd take the $20 million right now.
Really?
I'm not starting over with nothing. Because I don't know what life has for me at age, if I get back to 36. I don't even know if I make it here.
Let's say you make it back to 36. It's a guarantee you make it back to 36.
Nah, man. I don't know if I'd have my wife. I don't know if I'd have my daughter. I'd take the money now, honestly. Having the time back is amazing. Having the mindset would be amazing. And I see a lot of, you know, 18, 21-year-olds right now. It's like, yo, if I had that mindset then,
thanks,
killing it. But I don't know if I'd have my wife. I don't know if I'd have my daughter. I don't know if I have my friendships, relationships, if I started back over. So I'd take the money now.
I agree.
What would you take?
I'd probably take the money now, too.
The money now?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I'm not 30. I'm almost 30. That's still young. You know what I'm saying? That's like a lot of time ahead of me. And I don't want to go back to, it's the school years that I'm trying to avoid. That K through 12 shit is what, that man, I couldn't wait to get out of school when I was a kid, bro. I'm like, I can't wait to be an adult. This school shit, I can't do it, bro. So those years, I there's no way I could do that over. So that's definitely what I would take.
No, but that school system stuff, man. We trying to figure that out with Alani right now, what we want to do with her in terms of school. And it's difficult because you want to have the best education for your kid, but what does that even mean nowadays? So figuring that out.
That's a Pandora's box right there. What does that mean?
That's
right. But I'll leave it at this. I was talking to somebody about this. I ain't gonna say who it was because it was some private advice. It was somebody actually very, very, very well established and older to have children that doing great, amazing things. He was saying, because I said he knows I'm having a daughter. He was like, bro, you gotta send her to private school. I was like, really? He was like, I kind of want to do that anyway. But he was like, you have to do it. He was like, if it was a boy, you know, your boy got you. You could give the boy a guidance and advice and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? It's boys. But he was like, with a girl, you have to be very, you got to be very careful and protective of certain things. And he was like, I don't think you should want to put her in an environment where it's just like anybody and everybody. Anybody could get in. He's like, you got to protect that. With boys, it's a little different. They might have to go through a little grind and a little rough shit, you know what I'm saying? But he's like, with a girl, I would tell you pay that $1,000, $2,000 a month and just put her in private school, do some homeschooling a little bit too. And I was like, I think that's probably what I'm gonna do. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm definitely look into that. But before we wrap up, man, I just want to say I definitely appreciate you. I know you got a flight to catch tomorrow, so I definitely appreciate you taking time to come out and chop it up with me, man. This was fun. But before I let you go, do you mind plugging in all your stuff where people can find you, follow you, where they can become a student of y'all's and everything like that?
Yeah. So you guys can check out cleaningbusinessuniversity.com if you want to start and scale a 6- or 7-figure cleaning business without cleaning any houses. You can also check out the Hard Dog Hustle podcast where me and my wife, we have conversations like this every week.
Where can they watch it?
They can watch it on YouTube. They can watch it on Apple, Spotify, Hard Dog Hustle podcast. And follow us on Instagram at The Hartrimony. That's a player in our last name in matrimony. And that's THEHARTRIMONY, and it'll be in the show notes and description and all that.
Y'all make sure y'all check all those things out. If you want to get into the cleaning industry and start your own cleaning business, please tap in, y'all. As you can see, they're doing it in real time, and you can learn from these things and avoid those headaches and those obstacles trying to do it on your own. So definitely tap into that. And you guys can follow me on all platforms. I'm at the official Xavier Miller on Instagram, and you can follow the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast everywhere as well. And that's all we have for you guys on this episode of Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. See you guys next week. Peace.
You gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.